Jesus said, "My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives." And then he would say, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 14:27. A little exercise this morning, you know, kind of get the mental processes, all the gears and all the wheels turning here and working. And you'll like this first one. Think about yourself. Think about yourself, your life. All right? When you think about your life, when you think about your physical health, wherever you may be at this moment, how does that make you feel? When you think about your spiritual and mental health, how do you feel at your core? When you think about your social life, your relationships with friends and family and work and school or whatever it is, when you think about your life and all of the swirl, how do you feel in your stomach? The King James Version, in your bowels, at the center of your emotions. Think about your life. What's going on in your life at present? Your relationships as it pertains to your life. How do you feel in your center? That's exercise number one. Do you feel a sense of equanimity, a sense of poise and calm and peace? Everything's all right. Or no? When you think about the world, think about culture, when you think about our nation, when you think about our government, when you think about everything that makes what our society is, when you think about all of it for what it is, how do you feel at your core and in your center? You think about the world with all of its affairs and your place in it. What emotions do you feel? What feelings course through your body? Do you have a sense of poise and calm and peace? It's going to be all right. Or, when you go through an exercise like that, do you feel your blood pressure rise just a little bit? Do you feel a little bit of dread in the pit of your stomach? Do you feel your limbs become just a little bit weak, a little jelly-like? You find that your breath, the pace begins to escalate. Is there a sense of doom and despair and everything's wrong and nothing's ever going to get better? And how do you feel at the core of your being? Peace? Or do you experience great anxiety, great fear, great worry? You know, there are people, sadly. For some, their environment certainly has an effect, but maybe there's a biological cause behind it to some degree, who every single day they wake up with a feeling of dread somewhere down deep inside them. A gloom, a cloud that just never seems to pass. And when they think about the future, if they allow themselves to think about it, it's always frightening. It's always fraught with danger. And the glass is never half full, it's always half empty. Where are you on that scale? I can promise you this morning, as far as personal experience is concerned, I know as much about this subject as any other, and that's the subject of worry. Worry. Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34 will be our text for this morning. Regarding worry, I have come by it naturally. I come from a family of worriers. The apple hasn't fallen too far from the tree. Anxiety is the other family member that sits in one of the chairs at the table for every man. Worry is part of the human dilemma. Think about the garden for a moment when Adam and Eve were there basking in God's presence. They never had a worrisome thought. They never felt an ounce of anxiety. There was never a sense of dread, never a sense of gloom. If anybody could say, you know, it's going to be all right, those two could. But rather than continuing to appreciate the goodness of God and enjoy the environment in which they dwelt, they chose to rebel against Him, to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And now the world has fallen, and here we are, awaiting the coming of Jesus, our hope, our confident expectation. But life is fraught with danger. Life is difficult. Job said on one occasion, as he thought about everything that he experienced, he said, everything I thought would happen did. And he said, trouble comes. That's life. And because it does, daily we have to battle in our minds. How are we going to allow the conditions of a fallen world to affect us? Jesus said, my peace I give to you, my peace I live with you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, be at peace. Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. Paul said, be anxious for nothing. Now, did I say that again, Paul? I think I heard you say nothing. Surely you didn't mean that. Yes, I meant that, and don't call me Shirley, right? Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Really? Really? Be anxious for nothing. And that brings us to Matthew chapter 6. What we're going to try to do this morning, and depending on how far we get and what happens, we may do a little bit more of it tonight. Who knows? Like Roy with his songs, so am I with the sermons. We got about three or four on the docket, so we can go a lot of different directions. It depends on where we go this morning. What's wrong with worry? What's wrong with it? It comes rather naturally. I'm rather good at it. What's wrong with worry and anxiety? First place. Worry is wrong. Why? Because it stems from an overvaluing of temporal things. In other words, worry is a result of improper priorities and values. And that doesn't mean that people who work, you know, all of us feel the emotions. Do we allow it to control us? Do we allow it to dog us to the point where we're not productive? And you can feel the feelings and emotions and still journey through life in a faithful way. But here's what generally happens. What are the kinds of things for which we worry? What does Jesus say in verse 25, Matthew chapter 6? This whole thing has to do with trust. What do we really trust? What we're laying aside for ourselves, the money that we're storing up, the stability that somehow we supply through our own actions, or do we trust God? And Jesus says, you can't serve God and mammon. Choose the master. Choose whom you'll trust in verse 24. And that leads us to verse 25. He said, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. What kinds of things are involved in this life worry? What you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor about the body, what you shall put on. And then notice what he says. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? What's he talking about here? He's saying, don't worry about your life. The temporal things. The things that we usually wonder, will I have enough of? Will I have enough to eat? Will I have enough to drink? Will I have enough money in the bank? Will I have a place to live? And most of us don't really worry about it in that sense, but we're always wondering, will the ceiling fall where we will have to start concerning ourselves with those matters? What happens if I lose my job? What happens if I'm stripped of my retirement? What happens, what happens, what happens, what happens, what happens? And our minds are constantly focused on the here and now and what we think might happen as we live life on this earth. Now, there's a place for thinking about this life's things. But oftentimes we worry because that's where our minds are continually focused. Our lives are bound up every day, our thoughts, with what will I do today? What am I going to engage in? What's going to happen to me? And we have this little bubble as we think about all of our needs and wants and desires, and we stay there. And then when we start thinking about, well, what if I don't get what I want? What if I don't find what I need? What if the desires of my heart don't find their fulfillment? And then what kicks in? Worry and anxiety. Or maybe we're concerned that what we presently have, somebody will come and take it from us. And then we will lack, and we can't allow that to happen. Worry's problematic because the focus is in the wrong place. Where's the focus? Where should it be? Matthew 6:33. But seek first, let your focus be here, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what about all of life's things? These things shall be added to you. What's God saying regarding your life, especially if you're a Christian? I've got it. Question is, do you believe Him? Oftentimes we believe Him between here and here, but in here, we don't believe Him. We believe Him between here and here. We read it, we see it. I agree with that. Yes, God, You've got it. But in here, we don't believe it. Our emotions and our feelings don't follow the facts in our head. But they should. What is wrong with worrying? When we worry, generally we're worried about the things of this life. Our focus is not what it ought to be. Because our focus isn't on what it ought to be. We forget the One who, again, provides all those things. And we live life like God isn't in control. Worry is problematic because, in essence, it's antagonistic against the sovereignty of God. God is ruling even at present. I don't care what's going on in Washington. I don't care what's going on in Bangladesh. I don't care what's going on anywhere around the world. I don't care who's in power in the White House, in the Soviet Union. God is in control. He rules by His power forever. His eyes are on the nations. And if He's in control of the world, that means He's got my little corner of it under control as well. Now, that doesn't mean difficulties won't come. That doesn't mean things can't get tough. It simply means that there's nothing that will transpire that God doesn't have His finger on the pulse of it, and He will lead those who love Him faithfully through it. When we worry, we attack the sovereignty of God. We act as if God doesn't have the ability to provide for us. Do you agree with that? But what does He say? Verse 26. You worried about the things of this life? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father takes care of them. And then He uses the lesser to the greater argument. Will He not take care of you who are of much more value than they, as I paraphrase? You know, we can look at Luke 6 and a number of other ideas in Scripture. God is cognizant of every sparrow that falls to the ground. Reminds me of the one that I picked off the corner of my house when I was 8 years old that I didn't have any business doing. God knows every single thing that goes on in the most minute of ways. Your life, He knows every tiny aspect and part of it. And He's in control of all things. And if He takes care of the birds, He's concerned about them. How concerned is He about you? What about 28 through 30? Why do you worry about these kinds of things? Clothing. Consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin, but I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Again, the lesser to the greater, right? Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Well, I don't know if I'm going to have a job. Will God not more so clothe you, O you of little faith? I may lose my house. Will God not more so clothe you? What's the problem with worry? It's a lack of faith. When we worry and we're anxious, we're saying, I don't think God's going to take care of me. Oh, I've lost my retirement. Well, God can't take, God has to have your retirement take care of you. Oh, my bank account's down and up. Well, God needs your bank account to take care of you. He might use your bank account, but if it's down to nothing, it looks like he's not going to use that. He's going to use something else, but he'll use something. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and maybe, perhaps, if God's willing, all these things will be added unto you. That's not what it says. These things shall be added unto you. Might not be everything you ever wanted. What if things get so bad, I die? There's worse things than death. When Paul thought about his own death, he said, God will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. He said, death can't even separate me from God's love. I don't cease to exist if I die. I go on, take that next step that much closer to God. Not that I want to die. I'm not acting like death isn't, you know, something that's intimidating. It's not a pie in the sky kind of thing I'm setting forth here. But I'm saying you can take a deep breath, because whether you live or die, God says, I'll take care of you. Now, do we believe that? Here's what's wrong with worry. Look at verse 27. Worrying itself. Now, concern can move you, can it? It can motivate you. We need to be concerned about certain things. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about a worry and anxiety, a dread, a sense of gloom, sickness in the pit of our gut, because we think somehow God's going to allow us to go through something that is going to be so miserable and so horrible that we just can't stand it. Well, God says, I'll be with you through any of it. All of it, if you go through it. And then, of course, who's to say you're going to go through whatever it is you think you're going to go through? What about verse 27? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? What did you read a moment ago? Hugo McCord's translation? What does he say? Something to the effect of...
Who by worrying can add a few inches to his height.
Can add a few inches to his height. That's the actual literal understanding of it. You know, if you're 5 foot two and you think, man, I won't live unless I'm going to be 6 foot tall, you can worry all day, you're not going to be 6 foot tall. Although, he may mean, which of you by worrying can add more years to your life? A number of commentators seem to think that's what he's saying. In other words, if I worry enough, God won't allow these things to happen, whatever they may be, whatever we have in mind. That booger bear that's out there somewhere who's charging and coming at us. Maybe if I worry about it enough, if I'm anxious enough, if I'm sick in my stomach enough, it just won't happen. Worry is a waste of time and a waste of energy. Now, I get it. Like I said, I got a doctorate in worry. I mean, I've been to school with this thing. So I get it. But it's a waste of time. By worrying, what does it ever accomplish for you? Being anxious. Oh, no. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Right? You know, the eyebrow rub. Oh, man. What does that accomplish? Nothing. And here's the thing. What does verse 34 say? This is the third time in this section, although we haven't mentioned number two yet, that Jesus mentions worry. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You got enough to think about right now in the here and now. Think about this for a second. As you sit here right now, you're fine. You're fine. Right now, you're fine. Now, you might not be fine 15 minutes from now. You might not be fine 10 years from now from the sense of maybe physical health or something like that. Difficulties may come, but right now, how are you? You're fine. Take a deep breath. You're okay. Where should we live? Right here. Right here. You can't change the past. Can't do anything about that. The future's not guaranteed. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. None of us have a guarantee tomorrow. Here's where we're all living. Here's our neighborhood right now. Now, you can try to live in another neighborhood someplace far, far away, but you're always going to be living right here. So ask yourself the question, how am I right now, right here? No, there's not a saber-toothed tiger chasing any of us right now. There's not a deadly snake slithering down the aisle right now. There are not armed bandits coming in right now. You're fine right now. If the snake comes, if the tiger comes, if the bandits come, God said, I'll be with you when they come. What if they kill me? Nothing shall separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is just a blink. We're moving somewhere. If they don't get you, death's going to get you anyway. Worry is a waste of time because what makes it what it is? Why is it not a good thing? Because it causes us to expend energy on so many things that never even transpire in the first place. Or if they do, they're not nearly what we thought they were going to be. How many times have you said this? Ready? That wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. How many times have you said that in your life? That wasn't even close to as bad as I thought it was going to be. The worst part of it was the lead up. But what was wrong with the leading up to it? How much did all that do you? Didn't do anything. Worry is a waste of time. And again, the worst part about it is it demonstrates a lack of faith. What does he say in verse 31? For the second time he says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Then he says, for after these things, the Gentiles seek. Who's the Gentiles here? That's the unbelievers. That's people in the world who are without God and without hope in the world. That's who the Gentiles symbolize. The unbeliever. He says the unbelievers run around wringing their hands, rubbing their eyebrows, feeling sick to their stomachs, trying to find what they think they needed more. He said, when you act like it's all up to you, when you act like I can't take care of you, the Father can't take care of you, then you're acting just like people who don't have any faith at all. That's where worry gets real serious, because it's saying, God, you're telling me you can take care of the situation. And okay, yeah, I believe it, but we're not acting like it. Now, I understand it's hard to get to the point where what we believe and accept affects us in the physical, where we can have that peace and we can have that calm and we can think to ourselves, you know, it's going to be all right. But shouldn't we continually allow these principles to run through our minds as we think about how we should view life in light of its difficulties in a fallen world? Shouldn't we, when we feel those emotions, when we feel those fears, shouldn't we turn our worry into worship? Shouldn't we turn our worry into worship? In other words, you get the phone call. You know, it's from a family member, and they say, Brother A's doing this again. You've been dealing with it for a long time. We don't know where he is, and he very well may be doing this, and this affects you, and this affects your family. And what do you begin to do? Oh, man. The stomach falls, and the blood pressure rises, and all of the physical symptoms begin to kick in, and you begin to imagine all of the worst-case scenario. Now, here's where we start to grow a little bit spiritually. When we step back, when that happens, we step back for a moment, and we say, okay, I will turn my worry into worship. I'll refocus on what really matters. I will live in the here and now, because right now, sitting here, Brother A hasn't done what I think he might do. And even if he does, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now that takes practice, and that takes determination, and that takes every day of our lives. When these things begin to transpire, we do what we just said. We step back. All right. I'm okay right now. Right here, I'm okay. So I will focus right here, and I'll praise God, and I'll thank Him. And I'll ask Him for the things I need, and I'll thank Him for the blessings I have. And I'll meditate on the things which are good, true and noble and just and pure and lovely and so forth.
And I'll
face whatever mountains are before me as they appear, but I will not picture them before I see them on the road. Now tonight, we're going to talk about some more practical things that might help. But worry, the worst thing about it, again, it's a lack of faith. Oh, you of little faith. Let's do like the disciples of Jesus did on occasion. Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, increase my faith. Pray that when you're worried, when you're frightened, when you're afraid. One of the things that can put you in a position to have the peace we're talking about, to help you overcome worry, is to be a Christian. If you're in Christ, if God's for you, who can be against you? And you can put on Jesus in baptism this morning if you believe in Him, repenting of your sin, confessing Him. And what a wonderful way to start this new week and the rest of your life by making that decision even now as we stand.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord.